makers of X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative, present Strange as It Seems. Strangely enough, one of the greatest mysteries of all time is still to be solved. We still don't know what causes sniffling, sneezing, misery-creating colds, but we do know how to guard against them. Get enough sleep. Eat wisely. Dress warmly. Avoid drafts. Keep your feet dry. And keep regular. But in keeping regular, don't weaken your system. Don't make it more susceptible to colds by using harsh, disagreeable laxatives. Take a mild laxative. X-Lax, for example. X-Lax, you know, is gentle and kind to your system because it is a correctly timed laxative. Yet it's entirely effective and thorough. Agreeable to take, too. Just like smooth, mellow chocolate. Always keep a box of X-Lax in your medicine chest. It's good for every member of your family, young or old. The true story of the wreck of the Hesperus. It was the schooner Hesperus that sailed the wintry sea, and the skipper had taken his little daughter to bear him company. Then up and spake an old sailor, had sailed the Spanish main.
I pray thee, put in thee on the port, or I fear a hurricane. Last night the moon had a golden ring, and tonight no moon we see.
The skipper, he blew a whiff from his pipe, and a scornful laugh laughed he. Colder and louder blew the wind, a gale from the northeast. The snow fell hissing in the brine, and the billows frothed like yeast.
Come hither, my little daughter, and do not tremble so, for I can weather the roughest gale that ever wind did blow.
He wrapped her warm in his seaman's coat against the stinging blast. He cut a rope from the broken spar and bound her to the mast.
Oh, Father, I hear the church bells ring. Oh, say, what may it be?
'Tis a fog bell on a rock-bound coast.
And he steered for the open sea.
Oh, Father, I see a gleaming light. Oh, say, what may it be?
But the father answered never a word. A frozen corpse was he. And fast through the midnight dark and drear, through the whistling sleet and snow, like a sheeted ghost, the vessel swept towards the reef of Norman Woe. She struck where the white and fleecy waves looked soft as carded wool, but the cruel rocks, they gored her side like the horns of an angry bull. At daybreak on the bleak sea beach, a fisherman stood aghast to see the form of a maiden fair, lashed close to a drifting mast. The salt sea was frozen on her breast, the salt tears in her eyes, and he saw her hair like the brown seaweed on the billows fall and rise. Such was the wreck of the Hesperus in the midnight and the snow. Christ, save us all from a death like this on the reef of Norman's Woe. Strange as it seems, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow made some bad mistakes in his wreck of the Hesperus, because the Hesperus wasn't wrecked at all. She rode out the furious storm off the New England coast in December 1839. 60 vessels were lost on Norman's Woe, but not the Hesperus, as she was safely at anchor in Boston Harbor. All the damage the Hesperus suffered was a broken bowsprit. Longfellow apparently confused several newspaper accounts of the time. The Mark of Death. Thomas Paine, great champion of liberty and author of The Rights of Man and The Age of Reason, was the victim of one of the basest acts of treachery ever perpetrated upon an innocent man. 1793, Paris runs red with blood from the guillotine. Louis XVI, then called Louis Capet, is on trial for his life. The scene is the Convention of Public Safety, presided over by Marat, meeting behind closed doors for the verdict. Thomas Paine speaks.
You know full well that I have no love for the aristocracy. I am an American. Nevertheless, when Louis Capet and Marie Antoinette fled from Paris and tried to cross the border, I advised you to let them go. Gentlemen, please, please let me finish. When Louis Capet tried to leave France, he left his crown also.
Be careful what you say, American. We French do not like traitors to liberty.
Citizen Marat, I love liberty with all my heart. I've fought for your cause ever since Mirabeau. But I also remember that Louis gave help to my countrymen when we sought to free ourselves from England.
Yes, he's right.
The American is just. Let no Louis remain a prisoner until the war with Austria is over.
Ah, so you turn like dogs with your tails between your legs, eh? Well, I have marked you all, those of you who wish the death of Louis and those who wish clemency. You will soon see what happens to those who desire clemency.
You have no right to force us to change our minds. We are going...
Enough of this wrangling. I insist the question be put to a vote. Citizen Dupin, what have you to vote?
I the guillotine for Louis XVI.
That is better, Dupin. And you, Citizen Delibes?
Citizen Marat? I must have time, I must...
You must vote now.
I, too, vote the guillotine for Louis.
So, and you, Thomas Paine?
I vote for the detention of Louis until the end of the war. And after that, his perpetual banishment.
I will remember that statement well.
Louis XVI goes to his death. In vain does Thomas Paine try to stem the bloodlust. Marie Antoinette ascends the guillotine with head high. Swiftly and without justice, those who have dared to go against the desires of Marat are condemned to death. At last, only Thomas Paine is left. And then Marat is assassinated by Charlotte Corday. But Robespierre, arch-enemy of Paine, succeeds the beastly Marat. 6 weeks pass, and then...
Come in. Tom.
What brings you here so late, Bayard?
Robespierre has given the order for your arrest.
But they dare not kill me. I'm an American citizen, and Robespierre knows it.
Tom, that's just the trouble. Robespierre has been misled.
What do you mean?
The American minister to France has betrayed you.
Governor Morris betrayed me?
Yes, he hates you, Tom. He deliberately lied to Robespierre and told him the United States government would be glad to get rid of you.
But Washington and Jefferson are my friends. That's why Morris hates me.
Robespierre does not know that. Oh, please, escape while you can, Tom.
No, Bayard. I have nothing to fear. George Washington will never let me go to the guillotine.
But Governor Morris deliberately misinforms Washington about Paine, and so no action is taken. Deserted by the country he championed and betrayed by his own, Paine languishes in prison during a long and terrible year. In 6 weeks, he watches 1,400 innocent victims led from their cells to the dripping blades of the guillotine. Finally, Paine contracts fever, raves in delirium on his filthy bed. Then Robespierre gives the fatal order for Paine's execution, and the incredible Governor Morris abandons Paine, an American citizen, to his horrible fate. The following night, in the dungeons of the Luxembourg Palace, the jailers go down the narrow corridors.
One moment. Yeah. Listen in there. That's the Marquise de Condorcet. She's to go to the guillotine tomorrow. Put a chalk mark on her door up here.
Where? Another filthy aristocrat. Well, they can cry like any other woman when they're alone, can't they?
Oui. Hold on. Here's the next cell. With the door open.
Citizen,
who is in there on the bed?
I vote for the banishment of Louis the 16th. Do not have
him. He is racked with fever.
What will the world think of us if we kill men and women as if we were
raving with delirium.
Oh, well, maybe death will cheat Madame Guillotine of another dainty morsel, eh? Too bad. Put a chalk mark on his door up here.
Where?
They will come for him tonight.
A few hours later, soldiers enter the dungeon to collect their human spoils.
Here's a door with a chalk mark on it. Open it. Who are you?
The Marquis de Condorcet. Have you come to take me to the guillotine?
Hurry up. There is not much time.
I am quite ready to die. Lead on.
Hold. There's no chalk mark on this next door. I could have sworn they said every cell. Listen, you. Do you know whose cell this is?
A man. An American, I think. All last night I heard him crying, Liberty! Danton! My friend! He is a friend of the revolution.
Give me your lamp there, Alphonse.
Oui.
We will look closely. No, there's no chalk mark there. That is strange. I would have sworn. Oh, well, probably a citizen in for some other kind of offense. Allons. Forward, citizen.
And so, strange as it seems, Thomas Paine was saved from the guillotine because the chalk mark had been placed on the door of his cell when it was opened outward against the wall of the corridor. Later, it was closed. The chalk mark was then on the inside of the door and could not be seen by the jailers. A year later, James Monroe succeeded Governor Morris as minister to France. Monroe, fond of Thomas Paine, thought he was dead. When he found Paine was still alive, he had the unfortunate man rescued from his living death. Paine returned to America in 1802.
We'd like to ask rather an impertinent question of all you women who have husbands to look after. Have you ever fooled your husband for his own good? One woman we know did just that with gratifying results. You see, her husband was stubborn. He would swallow the most unpleasant, old-fashioned mixtures when he needed a laxative. One day, she threw the awful stuff away. Pretended it was all gone. She offered him X-Lax instead. So, another troublesome laxative problem was solved. Instead of those old, unpleasant mixtures, he now takes a little tablet that tastes just like delicious chocolate. It's kind and gentle to his system because it is correctly timed. With all its mildness, it's completely thorough and effective. Never again will this man take any other laxative but X-Lax. Why don't you profit by his experience? Drop into your druggist today and get a box of X-Lax. Only 10 cents a box, 25 cents for the larger, more economical family size. In England lived an old lady who made her living selling winds to sailors. How did this strange occupation first begin? Listen to Strange as It Seems. You will also hear the world's strangest epitaphs. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, directed by Cyril Armbrister. Man on foot can outrun any living animal.